Lord, you are marvelous and great, and I've done been through enough to know that you're enough in every situation. I know that. Lord, I've watched you work. I've watched you answer prayers immediately. I've waited for years and watched you come through after 30 years. Lord, I've seen you be faithful to me and to others. Lord, I've watched you do miracles that you tell people and they look at you right funny and they say, well, that didn't happen, but I know that it happened. I know how big you are. Lord, you're real. You're not a story. You're not a part of my imagination, but you live in me. Thank you for living in me, changing me, saving me. Now, Lord, help me to live as you want me to live. God, I pray that every mind and every heart will be convicted of sin this morning. I pray for everyone in this sanctuary, for everyone that will watch on live stream, for everyone downstairs. I pray for Holy Ghost conviction of sin, of everything wrong in our minds, in our hearts, everything done and left undone. I pray that we'll be made most miserable until we repent. Father, I pray whatever it takes, if we've got to lose everything that we have and crawl to your house on our face, God, take it away if it'll make us live like you want us to live. I'm asking, oh God, to move on us this morning in a great way that we might leave this place with our head up, not in pride, but because we walk in victory of Jesus Christ. Help us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I know without a doubt that there's needs in our homes, as I said, and in the house of God. And we're going to still look at that this morning. There's trouble down at the house. There's a problem down at the house. That's where the issue's at. I'm not worried about the White House. I'm worried about down your house. All right? Down your house is going to affect this house. If your house ain't right, this house ain't going to be right. And so we need to make sure our house is right. We need to make sure dads and moms and children are right. And then when dads and moms and children are right, then the preachers will get right and the deacons will get right and the teachers will get right and the singers will get right and musicians will be right. And then we'll be right and we can have church the way God wants us to have church. But we're going to have to start down at the house. It's going to have to start with dad. It's got to start with it. Don't need to start with mommy. It needs to start with daddy. It needs to start with the husband. It needs to start with the man of the house. And then it needs to get over to the wife. If daddy will do right, mommy will do right. If daddy will do right, the children will do right. If the father, if the husband walks right, the rest of the family will fall in line naturally, but the man's going to have to do right. If there's going to be any spirituality the way it ought to be, men are going to have to humble themselves and get out of the way and let God stir in your heart and be what God wants you to be. And the country will line out, the church will line out, the community will line out. But because we're weak, it's because the weaker vessels are what's carrying everybody, and it ain't going to work that way. All right, now that was a mouthful, but I want you to listen. All right, there's been changes made down through the years. There's been changes made, and I don't have no problem with some of the modern stuff. As I've said many a time, I like my commode better than the toilet. I'd much rather go in my bathroom as I would an outside toilet. And if you've ever used an outside toilet, then you appreciate it too. I like my shower instead of a number three wash tub. Me and BB, Mooney, we've all bathed in number three wash tub before. And I know some of y'all, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but that's a big metal tub. And I've been there and I've took a bath in it. I'd rather stand in my shower and walk in it and walk back out. I'd rather. But if I have to go back to that to walk right, then I'll go back to that. But that ain't where it's at. It's not in the outside stuff. It's in the inside stuff. That's the problem. All right. But I like the modern conveniences. I really do. A couple hot days, I've done froze Cheryl Ann and Bob out. They sitting on the couch with blankets in the chairs, with blankets and coats, and I'm sweating, and I don't sweat. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe just fat people sweat, I reckon, but nevertheless, Nevertheless, I like the modern conveniences. I like it, all right? But there's some things that's changed that should not have ever changed. And that's where we're at today. We're facing some things right now that has built for years in our homes and in our churches that ain't going to just vanish away immediately, but we sure can make a dent in it if we'll start cleaning up now. Everything don't happen overnight. But I tell you, it's what we can short start down at our house. See, I want you to understand, I live at 145 Dietz Road, Mount Lookout, West Virginia. All right? And things can start there. All right? Me and Cheryl, and I'm the pastor. She's my wife. We pastor, in a sense, together, because what we do together. But if things ain't right down our house, I can't expect things to be right in this house. All right. I don't know the number address, but if you go down Nallon right before you cross the bridge, go up on a white house up on a hill there. It's a white vinyl fence. There's a man lives there by the name of Rick Childers and his wife Kim. If their house ain't right, can I tell you, things ain't going to be right down at this house. There's a log home up there across from Crest Supply up on the hill. They got a wraparound porch on it. And there's a man and woman live there named Boyd Collins and Gene Collins. If their house ain't right, can I tell you, things ain't going to be right down here. Now, what's your address this morning? Can I tell you, whatever your address is, if it ain't right down at your house, it's not going to be right here. All right? So you need to work on this morning. You need to pay attention to whatever your address is and think about that. Are you hearing me? Don't worry about my address. I'll take care of my address. You get your address lined out. And can I tell you, God knows where you live, and He knows what's necessary down at your house. But there's trouble down at the house. There's trouble. Can I tell you some things we've lost? See, we've gained some things that's good. We've gained some things, but we've lost some things. Can I start this morning? We've lost responsibility. We've lost responsibility. Nobody wants to be responsible about nothing anymore. Nobody wants to be accountable. Nobody wants to take blame. Nobody wants to stand up and say, "That's I done. I'm wrong. Or I'm right." Whatever the case may be, just stand. I respect a man that's wrong and stands for it more than I will a man won't stand at all. You know what? A man won't stand at all is a coward. All right? I'd much rather him stand wrong than not stand at all. But you'd be better off if you stood right. But we've lost responsibility. We've lost responsibility down at the house. That's why our houses are messed up. All right? We've lost responsibility then to the church, and responsibility in the church is vanished because of what's down at the house. Let's start about responsibility with husband and wife down at the house. You know, the husbands have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. If you don't do that, then you're wrong. You need to repent. That's just it. If you don't do that, you need to get out of your seat now and repent so we can go on with the service. But we're not doing it and we're not repenting because we don't hear what we're saying, because we don't care, because that's going to inconvenience us to stand up and admit that I'm not fulfilling my responsibility. Now I'll get to why we're not going to hear in a minute, but I'm just telling you what's going on. Alright? You got men that don't work. You got men who won't provide for their house. All right? They're lazy. And what they ought to be, instead of getting welfare, they ought to be put out on the street and starve. Because a man that don't work shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible said. Man's responsibility, not the woman's responsibility, but the man's responsibility is to provide for his house. If you ain't got a job, you ought to get a job. You say, well, I ain't able to work. Were you able to do everything else? You're able to work. If you're able to walk around this church twice, you're able to hold a job. You are. And the reason you don't, you want welfare to help you? Because you're lazy. You want us to pay your way because you're lazy. All right? And you need to come up to the responsibility of your home. That's what you need to do. And then, there's not much responsibility at the home on the wife's part. After the husband has worked all day and made a living, There ought to be supper on the table when he gets home. The woman ought to take care of her man. He shouldn't have to come home and cook. He shouldn't have to come home and do his own laundry. He shouldn't have to come home and clean the house and take care of the kid. The wife ought to be there with the meal cooked, the house clean, his clothes washed, and be a wife like she's supposed to be, and love her husband like the Bible said to love her husband. That's what's supposed to be done. But we're out of order because we got women that have their careers, and men have their careers, and the kids are going to hell because we forgot a responsibility down at the house. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. All right? So we need to come up to our responsibility because we've lost it. We've lost our responsibility. And he said, well, I don't like it. Well, that's okay. It's okay. I don't like some things either. I don't like spoiled milk and rotten tomatoes. It don't matter to you, does it? Okay? We're just talking about trouble downtown. We okay? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just telling you what the problem is. What we've lost. See, there used to be a time. There used to be a time when that's the way it was. Amen. And that's when the church flourished. That's when the country flourished. But we lost something. So you get back what you lost, and that'll put things back like it was. That makes sense, don't it? Right? Now you say, well, you're getting it. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. That a man that don't provide for his house is worse than the infidel. That's what the Bible said. And a good wife, you go over and read of a virtuous woman in Proverbs, and she takes care of the house, and then after everything's took care of, she can do extra to make money however she wants to. We still okay? Now, that's just Bible. Now, I know, you said, well, that's old-fashioned. Well, I'm old-fashioned. I'm a dinosaur. I'll die a dinosaur. I'll die with an old King James Bible. Yes. I'll die standing on it, and I'm going to stand on what the Bible says. Amen. If it hair lips everybody, I don't care. Amen. All right? But we're going to stand on what the Bible says. All right? The responsibility of husbands and wives. Husbands, if you'll love your wife, you don't have to love another. And if you love her right, she won't love another neither. Okay? Think about that. And that's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. She's not a slave. She's a helpmate. Huh? She's not to be abused. She's not to be talked down to. She's a weaker vessel. She's supposed to be handled with care. They come in a package. If you just read the package, when you get them and take them away from her mom and dad, it says handle with care. Ain't that right, ladies? Talk to me, ladies. Huh? Y'all say amen. Listen, y'all run the house anyway. I ain't going to say nothing to you. Go ahead and say amen. But they ought to handle you with care. The Bible says that we ought to love them where they're not bitter against us. What the Bible says. We ought to be easy to forgive. Yeah. The Bible teaches that the husband ought to be able quick to forgive the wife. So that shows us that they're going to make mistakes. Okay? I seen something the other day. He said, I just want an argument with my wife. What do I do? Never had happened before. Nobody ever done that and never been taught. The wife's not always right. He's going to tell you. We okay? Y'all caught that. Y'all a little slow this morning. Huh? But I'm telling you, we're supposed to be quick to forgive. We're not supposed to talk. We're not supposed to. Any man that raises their voice to their wife in a mean way is not right with God. because Christ don't raise his voice to me. Come on now. Amen or out. If you do that, you holler, oh. Because that's true. So repent. Maybe we'll just stop here. And maybe just camp here. What? Is that our hold up? Is that the snag in the wheel that keeps us from moving on because the men don't love their wives? What are y'all looking at? What's got your attention back there? You putting something up on the screen? Maybe I'm missing it. Because it don't seem like you're getting it here. Now listen to me. We've lost it. We ain't to the message yet. This is just an introduction to the message. The second thing we've lost is commitment. Not just responsibility. You say, well, it means the same thing. No, it does not. You know that the average marriage only lasts 7 to 8 years. But infidelity runs 20 to 25%. Did you know that? That's a big percentage. Infidelity means you're fooling around, in case you didn't know what that meant. Everybody understands that, don't they? Huh? Talk to me. Right? But we have no commitment. We have no commitment to the house. Our responsibility is not to the house, it's to everything else. And our house suffers. See, instead of love and attention, we get involved in all this stuff that goes on in the world. And we don't fulfill our responsibility as a husband and wife and a mommy and a daddy. Stuff don't replace responsibility and love and care and attention. Children need to sit on their parents' lap and be loved on. Yes. Husbands and wives need to cuddle. Surely y'all can amen that. Huh? Right? We say, well, I'm too old to cuddle. No, you're not. You'll cuddle with the old stinking dog. That's what we've done. That's why everybody's got so many pets anymore. We've replaced our love life with a dog or a cat. Huh? Well, if that's the case, then husband put a collar on. Huh? We all right? But commitment. We've lost our responsibility and we've forsaken our commitment. When I stood 42 years ago and said that I take Cheryl for better or worse. Now we'll smart off and say, well, I've done the worse, I'm waiting on the better. Well, I got the better all the time. But better or worse. We was teasing, me and a husband and wife was teasing before church, and I said, I'm not going to say nothing about your choice. I was being smart like to his wife, sarcastic, we was teasing. And I said, listen, every time I see her, I pray for you. Okay? But it was his choice. That's Matt Frame Stephanie who I'm talking about. Okay. But it took for better or worse. That was my commitment. Richer or poor. Sickness and in health. But can I remind you, ladies, y'all took the same one. You took me for richer or poor. We ain't got enough. We ain't got enough. You took me for richer or poor. And I'm sorry that you got all the worst. The better days ahead. See, there's always something good to look forward to. Huh? Yeah, there's a better day coming. Right? Are we okay? I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us how to live. And it teaches us how to live down at the house. And we've got commitments to husband and wives of better or worse, richer or poor, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others. Keep thee only unto yourselves, as long as you both shall live. That's what the Bible says. But we forgot our commitment. We forgot our responsibility. We forgot our commitment. And then we wonder why that the world going to hell in a handbasket. We're still okay. Then we've lost our responsibility, we've lost our commitment, we've lost our integrity. We've lost our integrity. You know, integrity is just the quality of being honest. That's what integrity is, the quality of being honest. Huh? That'll be a handshake. They mentioned it there the other day, somebody mentioned it. Instead of having a contract and 25 signatures, why don't we just shake hands? Why don't we just be honest about it? Why can't we? Yeah, well, we'd law for integrity. How about if you read the meaning of integrity, it'll say that we are honest, but it says with strong moral principles. So that's how I know. Not just the honesty part, but our strong moral principles are out the door. Huh? Morality is gone, man. Huh? Right? Is that not right? Huh? Think about it. Humility is the fourth thing that's been lost. You know what humility is? It's a moderate or low view of one's importance. In other words, you didn't hang this moon. Hey guys, you didn't hang the moon. Hey gals, you didn't either. Humility is gone. Let me tell you what we're full of today. Pride, arrogance. That's why people are unteachable. I've never seen the intelligence of young people so high as it is today because they know everything. They know everything, but they don't know how to make a living. They know how to raise a garden. They know how to cook a meal. If it wasn't for McDonald's and Wendy's, most homes would starve. Or them Roman noodles. Huh? Right? I was in a shopping line, a food line here a while back, and there's this woman. I would love to have her money. She hadn't been rich. I thought she was anyway, till she gave her welfare card. But anyway, she had two buggies. She wasn't pushing one buggy. I mean, when I go to the grocery store, I can carry it on one hand. Well, she had to have a truck, I know, because they was two buggies. All right? Two buggies of groceries. And they was the awfulest pile of them Roman noodles ever I did see. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They wasn't no meat in there. I mean, if I go to the store, if I ain't got no meat in the freezer, I mean, I got meat, potatoes. I buy flour. I don't buy froze rolls. I buy flour. We make bread at home. We make corn pone, corn bread, biscuits. Huh? You know that? You know you can still make that stuff? Y'all know that? Huh? Man, this week, you know what I've enjoyed? This week I've enjoyed fresh milk, fresh butter, corn pone, pan of cornbread, heavenly sunlight, huh? And then Cheryl Ann come home the other evening with homemade fresh cottage cheese and a jar of cream. Y'all look at me, y'all we know what it is. Huh? Most of you ain't ever eat homemade cottage cheese. Huh? You eat that puke out of the store, out of a white can. Looks like somebody puked in it and had it to you. This is big curds and fresh cream. Man, open up a jar of homemade canned peaches. Not out of a tin can, but something you worked and canned. And pour it in and pour it in. Oh, heavenly sunlight. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm just talking about things we've lost. We okay? Humility that it's not us. Huh? The house I lived in goes right with where you goes right with the scripture. House I lived in, I didn't build it. I got a 1948 model home. Huh? Bob's got what, a 1917 model home or something like way old. You got a farmhouse, old farmhouse. 1828, huh? So he didn't build his house. Huh? Huh? Carolyn might have, but he did. Nah, she ain't that old either. Listen to me. What I'm telling you. Now listen to me. Y'all listening? I'm going to give you the message here. I looked up this on the computer. And I looked up today's modern family values. That's what I typed in. Modern family values. And it gave a list. And I got so mad after the first one. I didn't read the rest of it. I don't know what the rest of them said. But the first one proved everything I've been preaching. Now this is what the world said. The number one modern family value is self-compassion. Be kind to yourself first. That's what I said. That's your modern family value. To be kind to yourself first. I said, yep, that's exactly the way it is. And that's what we've gained. That's what we've give up all the right, and that's what we've gained. Now, I'm going to preach from a book I've never preached from. Turn to Esther chapter 4. I've never preached in 38 years. I've never preached from the book of Esther. Let me give you a scripture and we'll preach to you just for a minute. We're still okay? If you want a title this morning, I'm going to preach to you off of that last thing I said about self-compassion. Be kind to yourself first. I want you to look at me. I'm going to give you the title. The title this morning is Putting Me Out of the House. I'm going to put me out of the house this morning. Y'all understand that? It's time we put me out of the house. How about we just say it together? It's time we put me out of the house. That means to say it again. It's time we put me out of the house. That's what we need. We need to put me out. Because me is the problem. All right? Now, when I look at Esther, if you want the whole story, we're not going to give you the whole story. But Esther is a Jew. She's a slave. She's in captivity in a captive land. She's got an uncle named Mordecai that has been watching over, been trying to help her out, checking on her about every day, making sure everybody's okay. And King Ahasuerus has thrown out his woman, Vashti, and because she didn't obey him, so he put her out, got him another queen. Said, I'm looking for a queen. All right. Now, this is the way the story goes if you read the entire account there in Esther. We'll give you the quick version. All right. So he put Vashti out and said, I want somebody that's going to obey me. So here's what I'm going to do. Line me up. He told his chamber men, said, line me up the girls there that are captive, and I'm going to pick me a new wife. This is what he done. Now, he's saying right or wrong. Just tell him what happened. All right, here they all lined them up, and here come Esther through. He said, I like that one. That's the one I want. I want that one right there. She's pretty. She's fair, and I want her. So they got her, and they took her over, cleaned her up, and got her thing lined out, and he took her and said, she'll be my queen. So that's what he done. Mordecai was glad, and while that was happening, her uncle Mordecai had favored the king and made sure his life got saved, and everything's working out for everything good. All right, so we got Mordecai here. Haman didn't like Mordecai, and that was just another story. But anyway, here we got down to the end, and Haman's wanting to have all the Jews killed, and that's going to include Mordecai and Esther and the whole nation there that's in captivity. Is everybody with me? Now, I know I talked real fast, but I'm on short of time here. Now, Esther's the queen. Esther has an entire people depending upon her. And Mordecai told her, said, now, she was an orphan. Her mom and daddy is dead. So Mordecai took her and was raising her, and they all captive. So Uncle Mordecai told Esther, said, now, you're going to have to go talk to the king. You're going to have to talk to the king or everybody going to die. And she said, I can't do that. I ain't allowed in there unless he asks for me to come in. He said, don't matter. You got to go talk to the king. She said, we better pray about this. What he said, we better pray about it. He said, Mordecai, you tell all the people to go pray 3 days, fast and pray for a couple 3 days. And me and the girls in there, we're going to go pray for a couple 3 days. We're going to fast and pray. And then we'll do something. So Mordecai, they all went fast and prayed. And here's what happened. Esther, look in chapter 4. Is everybody with me? You up with the story? That was a fast forward, okay? Verse 15, Esther chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. But she had already made her decision. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. I ain't allowed. If I go in unannounced, he's going to kill me. But I'm going to take a chance because my family is in danger. Because all my people's in danger, I'm going to take a chance. And here's what's going to happen. It says, I'm going to go into him which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Yeah. You know what she said? She said, I'm getting rid of me. And I'm going to take care of the family. I'm getting rid of me. It's not about me no more. It's not about me being a queen. It's not about me having authority. It's not about me getting my wishes. I'm laying everything aside. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm not letting my family die. And this morning, for us to get some responsibility back and some commitment back and some integrity back and some humility back, we need some men and women, moms and dads, husbands and wives that'll stand up and say, if I perish, I perish. It don't matter what the law says. It don't matter what the neighbors say. It don't matter what nobody says. I'm going to do everything I can to save my family. And if I perish, I perish. And I'm going to ask you men and women this morning to get a backbone in you this morning enough to stand up and say, I'm going to do right down in my house. And if I perish, I perish. If I lose my job, if I lose my home, if I lose my friends. Hey, if you lose your friends for doing right, they ain't your friend anyhow. Amen. If you lose your job for doing right, God's got a better one down the road. Yes, he does. And if you don't have two nickels to rub together and got your family and everything's right down at your house, then God will feed you. If he's got to have a crow drop you a piece of roadkill, it'll be better than nothing. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. We're going to have to stand up like Esther did and say, if I perish, I perish. It don't matter. Huh? Now here's some things we're going to give you. I need to stand up and say, if I perish, I perish in my marriage. I'm going to make my marriage a marriage that's pleasing unto God. Yeah. Huh? It's this morning. If you sit in your pew this morning after I get done preaching this, then shame on you. If husbands and wives don't get hand in hand and get on this altar and say, God, you help me to have a godly home, then shame on you. Are you hearing me? We need to say, if I perish, I perish. But we're more worried about other books and what other people say our home ought to be and this modern stuff. You know, can I tell you why that boys think they're girls and girls think they're boys? Because mom and dad ain't right down at the house. Amen. You know why boys dress like girls? Because mommy won't let them have work clothes and go out there and get dirty and play in the horse manure. That's why. Huh? It's mom and dad's fault. We still okay? We seek our children's education. We seek our kids' wealth. We seek our kids' happiness, but we don't seek their salvation. The first responsibility you have is to see that your children are saved. If you can't see that your children's saved, you're not providing for your house. Huh? First responsibility. But they'll get mad. So what if they get mad? If they're under your roof, they don't have a right to be mad. You discipline the madness out of them. If you've not ever heard those, I don't know how y'all was raised, but listen, go ahead and cry. I'll give you something to cry for. You don't shut it up. I was told that all my life. You've been told that, Trista. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead. I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah. Yeah, I've been told. I was told that for 18 years. Huh? Any of y'all ever told that? You tell your kids that? Oh, tell the kids. What if they find out? What if they do find out? No matter what the law says, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do my home right. I'm going to do my children right. I'm going to seek the salvation of my kids. There's no need us giving the missions for other people's kids or doing door knocking or running buses for other people's kids if we let our own kids go to hell. It's wrong. God don't bless that. He won't bless that dollar you give if you won't seek the salvation of your own children. Huh? In my marriage, with my children. If you don't influence your children, somebody is. Huh? Public school is going to influence them against God and against you. We say, well, I'll send them to Christian school. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. If you think that's a lot better. It's mom and dad's responsibility to educate the kid. That's Bible. Not popular, but it's Bible. But we let somebody else do it because we don't have no responsibility or commitment or integrity or humility. Who would you rather influence your kid? Who would you rather influence? They're my kids. They need to do what I say. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now, you know what we do? We mean mouth these homeschoolers. Well, they just don't get the education. They get a better education. Right. A better education. You say, you're getting public school? Yeah, I go ahead and say, I'm getting public school. The way it is today, yeah, I'm getting it. Yeah, I'm getting public school. I've been wanting to start a Christian school. God won't let me, and I know why. Because I ain't got no business having one. So mom and dad need to do their job. Well, we just ain't got time. Then some one of you going to have to stay home. Amen. How about man? You just go ahead and work. We'll say, well, if you got to work two jobs. Go ahead. Work two jobs. Work three. I worked two for 30 years. How soon this is over. I'm just trying to get me out of the house. I'm trying to get me out of the house that my attitude is if I perish, I perish. It ain't about me. Cheryl, my marriage ain't about me. It's about you. I do everything I can for you. everything I can. I'll wait on you. I'll serve you. I'll do all kinds. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about you. I do everything I can for my boys. You know why? It's not about me. The pride in the home today, men think it's about them. They want to sit on a throne and the woman rub her feet and give them iced tea and they're sorry. We're supposed to be servants. Hey, if we're Christian, we're supposed to be the servant above all. For our master was a servant. Huh? And that's just the way it is. How many men's authority of your home? How many men's authority of your home? All of you's wrong. You ain't got no business being the authority. The rest of them, you scared it up because they can't be two authorities. God's the authority. Amen. If you're an authority, it means he ain't. Huh? We okay? I'm going to be at camp all week dealing with children. I've got to get this out of my system. Listen to me. Listen to me. If I perish, I perish. I'm not going to get famous over this. I know that. Well known maybe, but not famous. It's not about me. We still all right? In my marriage, with my children, in my church. Church ain't about me. I come to church for you this morning, for the Lord, but to help you. If I don't get nothing out of it, that's okay. It's not about me. How can I make you a better Christian? How can I make you closer to God? How can I improve your prayer life? How can I improve your testimony? How can I improve your praise? That ought to be my thought. That ought to be your thought. How can you lift up your preacher? How can you lift up the preacher? How can you lift up the other people? How can you do that? What can you do today? But no, we don't. We come in, hey, God bless me. I've had a hard day. I've been in the world living like hell and not giving no praise. Will you go ahead and bless me today so I can have a better day and then I'll go live like hell tomorrow? That's how we live. We don't come to the church house for somebody else. We don't come to be a blessing. Give me a blessing. Because that's how we work. Give me a paycheck. Give me. Give me benefits. Give me this. What are you going to do? Well, I ain't going to do nothing. But if I perish, I perish. Why can't we stand up and say, it ain't about me. Get me out of the house. Get me out of the marriage. It's not about me making my children what I was not. Oh, I wanted to play ball, but I threw my leg out and my knee. I can't be the ball player. So I'm going to sacrifice all my time to make my kids a ball player so they can grow up and get a lot of money and be dope heads and drunkards and marry 10 times and live like hell. That's what I want. No. Well, we make them godly people. I don't have to be able to run to make them a godly people. I need to make them kneel. We still okay? If I perish, I perish in my marriage. Husbands, love them. Well, yeah, but they're no good. Love them. Yeah, but they're unfaithful. You love them. You love them. Forgive them. Love them. Don't be mean to them. My children, influence them correctly. In my church, people leave. Let me tell you why people leave the church. Go ahead and spread the word. This is why people leave the church. Because they're interested in me. They're all full of me. You say, well, they're my friends. They're my friends too, but they're full of me. They're full of their self. Some people don't do right. They're full of their self. I ain't getting nothing, and I ain't getting fed. And I don't like it, and I don't like it. It's all about me. Growl, whine, scream, I don't like her cooking. At least you can say something good. Roger Gerwig told me one time, and my wife is really religious. I'm going to tell this on you, Roger. Joe, hear what he said. He said she offers up burnt offerings every evening. That's what he said. That's a religious woman. That's what Roger said. That's what I'm not telling you. We're friends. I tell you what Rod said. Don't want to tell, don't tell me. But he looks like he's been eating. Just go ahead. He may not no more. Bob's in my spare room, Rod. You can't come. Listen to me. We got to laugh a little bit because it hurts a bit. How about if I perish, I perish. They will go ahead and do that with the Lord. They will get rid of me so it'll be His will, not my will. Then it'll be, think about it, that it'll be y'all's church, not my church. And you know what I mean? That I help you. It'll be a blessing for you and not me. See, there's no sacrifice in the church no more. See, I remember growing up, BB's here this morning, he can vouch for this, and that might have happened in your home. But I remember when things was lean at the house, and they would be something there on the table, and there would be only one of them left. And mommy all of a sudden wasn't hungry. Was she, BB? Now I don't want no more. Because we did. So it wasn't about her hunger. It was about my hunger. It wasn't about me getting it. It was about somebody else getting it. If I perish, I perish. It's not about me. It's not about me. I need me out of the house. I need me out of the house. Just throw me plumb out. And Lord, you give me an example when your son knelt in the garden and said, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless, I'll do what you say, but it's whatever, but I'd like it this way, but if not. You know why there's a rub comes in when serving the Lord? Because of me. You know why I have a hard time fasting? Because of me. You know why I have a hard time praying all night? Because of me. You know why I have a hard time getting along with some people? Because of me. You know why I have a hard time getting this done? Because of me. Because of me. How about I just get me out of the way and say, if I perish, I perish. We still okay? What can I do to please the Lord this morning? What can you do? You're walking on His ground, breathing His air. What can you do for Him today? You're eating the food He provided. What are you going to do for Him today? I think I'll quit. You'll go to piano. Paul and the disciples give us a lot of examples, you know. They went out and said, I'm going to preach for the Lord. And they beat the hide off of them. And they come back and said, we got beat for the Lord. Think about that. Oh, if I just get me out of the house. Did Paul not write to the church of Philippi and say that we ought to be worried about the needs of others instead of the needs of ourselves? You know why people don't get saved? You know why people won't trust the Lord? Because they're worried about them. They're not worried about their eternity. They're worried about their present pleasure or their present wants. You need saved today to honor the Lord. God forgives you for Christ's sake. For others. That's what we need this morning. We need to get rid of self. Get me out of the house. I need me out of the house. Me ain't no good. I need me plumb out. That God might have right away. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. It don't matter if I die or not. Don't matter what comes upon me. If I die, I die. It don't matter. Because it's not about me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not about you either. And I wonder this morning, why don't we just go ahead and fall out from sin and repent and do right? Cheryl, I'm sorry for anything I've done to you. For anything I've done again, I'm sorry. And I want us to walk together with the Lord. And I stand here and repent in front of everybody that I want our communion to be better than ever and our fellowship to be better than ever. And I'll take you for better or worse. I'll take you in sickness and in health. And I'll forsake all others till death do us part. I love you. I love you. I want things to be down at the house like it ought to be. It ought to be. Not about me. It's not about Mark Sechrist. Mountain State Baptist Church ain't about Mark Sechrist. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about you. It's about you. Father, speak more to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.